ahead and start our recording here. We are on. How's everybody?
Good. Good. How do I get my picture, John? I'm just a blank.
Yep, hold on for 1 second. We can ask to start the video. Also, I have to put it in speaker view. That was the key to making our videos record with just the one picture rather than all the little squares. So,
okay.
Good, good. Okay. We did get one question in from the website. It says, apparently it looks that the freedom from the illusion definitely involves the element of grace and absolute humility, but I'm carried away by the vanity of my efforts in seeking the truth. Could you please talk about how we could get the grace by submitting completely, how to exhaust with the individual efforts? Mantra. Master has said, remain with your selfless self. Mantra. These are the humility. When you're talking about how do we get the humility and the grace, Master has already provided this. You know, follow the directions. I think Maharaj actually put out a video, which he doesn't title any of the videos, the devotees do, but one of them is following directions. You know, the directions are simple. Remain with your selfless self. There's no need to renounce the world. If you remain with your selfless self, the world dissolves. So it's not a question of, you know, an effort. Effort is required in the beginning, but effort to what Master has directed. Remain with your selfless self. The world's an illusion. Don't take the touch. Spontaneous action in the moment. Meditation. Humility would be following the directions that are laid out of meditation. Are you setting aside 1 or 2 hours a day of specific meditation so that you can know yourself in a real sense? And then throughout the day, you can find yourself in any given moment, and that dissolves the world. So it's not a matter of, and when they're speaking about the efforts in the seeking, that there's vanity, this is because the ego is seeking something. This sense of I am somebody else is seeking something. But again, Master's directed, remain with your selfless self. Mantra, sit in meditation. Just I, just I. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, in rising in the morning, before the whole body and world starts to come, just sit with that very, very subtle presence in that brief beingness and no beingness moment. The same. And then if you've sat in meditation, even for a short time, oh, what is that? And then you investigate this. You know what that is. Master has said that is Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God. That sense of presence is none other than your own self, and there is nothing except that. The entire world has appeared on that spontaneous presence that you are. And so no ego, no mind, no intellect. I think it was, I was reading something the other day, and it was talking about, you know, the thoughts appear as you believe you are. If you know yourself in a real sense, the thoughts are thoughtless because there's nothing to think about. There's no you that you're identified with in a specific situation which needs to be thought about. nor are you replaying memories because your actions are spontaneous. Maharaj uses the example of the tea. He's drinking tea, and there's an action, deliberate effort is made in drinking this tea and putting the tea down, but it's not thought about. Then he talks about, okay, now it's lunchtime, we're having lunch. Okay, now it's dinner time, we're having dinner. The next day, you say, oh, what was the effort in having lunch? What was the effort in having dinner? Spontaneous action, it's finished. Even if I have a very good dinner, oh, I have a very good dinner. The easiest way to remain humble in any situation is, thank you, my master. I do this all the time when it comes to, you know, my lunch. I'll eat a lunch and it'll be so delicious. Oh, thank you, master. You know, they talk about in setting aside, I think in Siddharmeshwar Maharaj, Master of Self-Realization, it says setting aside some food for Brahman, your master, before you eat yourself. And it's the same, because the formlessness is eating the food through this form. And that's why Maharaj says too, diet is not important, because know yourself in a real sense, these concepts will not arise. If I get involved in the concepts of what to eat, what not to eat, what to do, what not to do, how to do this, how to do that, no. As a matter of fact, you know, we had talked about before the kind of the Christian view of this ultimate truth, which is when Jesus says, okay, forget about all these things that you've been told. Very simple. It's boiled down to love thy neighbor as thyself. And because that you are. Mm-hmm. So if I remain with my selfless self, I don't get involved in the laws and what I need to do and the religious doctrine and all this sort of stuff. Now, if I believe myself to be a body, then these religious, the Shastras and the Bible and all these things, they apply to me because I believe myself to be a separate individual. Therefore, I'm believing me to be a doer, that there's sin and there's merit, that one day I will somehow be rewarded or punished for these deeds. However, if I know myself in a real sense, this doesn't come. You remain with your selfless self, the black hole that sucks in all concepts. And then it's just easy, 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 spontaneous living, spontaneous in the moment. And yes, you remain humble, but you remain humble by remaining with your selfless self. There's no need to be humble. As a matter of fact, if I try to be humble, then that's really kind of crazy, because then I am somebody else trying to be humble. And the most humbleness is the surrender of I am somebody else.
So could you comment more on no memory?
No memory, because there's not a me in it. There's spontaneous actions. There's literally how you will see yourself is scenes passing before you. And just actions, whatever in the moment, and then another scene and another scene and another scene. There's no identification with an object in space that creates time. And even if you look, okay, you have like a book of these things that happened and all this kind of stuff, it'll seem different because there'll be a detachment from this person that you thought you were that experienced these things, because now you know this is not true. Even though at the time that the memory was impressed that I'm experiencing something, now you know yourself in a real sense, this memory is not true. There's nothing to hang this memory on. And you can simply say, you know, oh, I remember 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I was at the beach and it was raining. And you can speak about that, but speak about it in a detachment, almost as if you're speaking about someone else because you're no longer identified as that person who was having that experience. Mm-hmm. And as far as the creation of memories in the moment, this is not, it's not, because it's just scenes. Just scenes appearing and disappearing. And if there's some interest in the particular scene, then that can be checked by remaining with your selfless self, because there's a stirring of I am somebody else who desires something from the scene I'm seeing, rather mm-hmm. than just knowing there's seeing. There are objects appearing and disappearing in the formlessness that I am. And this body seems to be involved in these activities. This body is within my own self. I'm formless. And all of the activities are done by the formlessness through form. And each form is exactly identical in the essence that you are, as in a dream. The dreamer is dreaming. The dream is spontaneous. There are people in the dream that seem to be interacting. But you're the cause of all of this. Each one of those dream characters is none other than your own self. Even the character that you're perceiving the dream through. Because in reality, you can say, oh, the body is laying down sleeping. This dream is projected through consciousness, just as the waking state is projected through consciousness, with the same concept, I exist. I exist in the body, I see a form, and a world. In the dream, there's deep sleep and nothing. The sensation I exist mixes with consciousness, projects a world. I'm a character within the dream, seeing this dream. And in the same way, this body is seeing this other dream world, the waking dream. And I don't have to so much say, oh, this world is illusion, I don't need to see it. Remain with myself the self. And that's what was spoken about how do we get in away from trying to have individual effort. Remain with the selfless self. You know, if I'm sitting there in traffic and I'm like, okay, this traffic is terrible, but you know what? Nobody exists and I'm formless. This is not the way. You remain with your selfless self. And then this concept, this mind flow of being in traffic dissolves in the moment in your own self. Truly, your own selfless self is like the black hole of concepts. It just sucks everything in. The more you remain there, it just pulls in everything. And then there's nothing.
Nothing. Even your experience, so.
Pardon me?
Even your experience sort of gets, could you say, is sucked in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even the attention we talked about before, you can sit here. It's kind of fun, actually, to sit and watch television and then suddenly kind of step back and observe the attention that's watching the television and hold that. And it's like, oh, okay. And then it's released. And that's the same. I'm remaining with my selfless self. And then it's released because there's no more concept of anyone trying to remain. There's no longer the conceptual idea of someone meditating. And that's how Maharaj says the meditation, you do meditation until the meditator dissolves within the meditation. And that's why it is like a black hole that just sucks in all concepts, including this concept that I'm holding on to this something or to this sense of presence. Everything dissolves in it. Or like an ice cube, if you were to put an ice cube in water and it dissolves. Or I think they talk about also, Siddharameshwar Maharaj talked about salt dolls. Take a salt doll, toss it into the ocean, and it just dissolves. And that's the same with all concepts, all thought, all actions, all activity, all desire to renounce. There's nothing. You just remain with yourself, with self. This is why meditation is so important, because meditation, you have to get to the point where that subtle just I, that sense of presence, that consciousness is there. And you use the attention that you're holding, that you are saying, okay, my deliberate action is to focus on this. Okay, good. That's all you have to do. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remain with I am. And that is that subtle just I, that subtle sense of presence. And if there are too many thoughts, then mantra will erase the thoughts slowly, silently, permanently. So again, you can feel this subtle sense. I am, I exist, just I without anything. And then remain. And now search for this in every moment spontaneously as you're going about, and it becomes more and more and more.
John.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
You don't have to search for anything. Sorry to butt in. Hi. Hello. You don't have to search for anything. If you're staying with the I am sense, you don't have to search for anything. You don't have to search. I bring up an entity again.
When you're remaining with yourself as self, remaining just with just I, true. But as you're going through your daily activities in the beginning, you'll not remain with yourself formlessly all the time, because you'll consider the world still something that needs to be stopped and started. If you're holding
not on, necessarily. No. Why put conditions on this I am? As Nisargadatta Maharaj said, he says, stay with this sense of I am as much as you can.
Yes.
If it happens during the day, that's good. If it happens on the job, that's good. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. Because once the process is started, it works on its own. So in that way, when you're using the analogy of the black hole, you're not having to do anything with the black hole or with the salt water where the doll melts. It does it, the work itself. As much as I get in the way with conceptual thinking about, oh, it's like this and it's like this, I'm creating an obstruction. But if I stay with the sense of I am, as best as I can, and it varies because it's going to be more pronounced at some time than other times.
And the times that it's not pronounced, you're in the world and you just remain.
No, that's okay. A concept.
This is the way. If you're going through your daily activities, because mantra should be running all the time, number one. And if you're...
There are no shoulds. We do the best we can. That's what was beautiful about Nisargadatta Maharaj and about Sidaram. He acknowledged everybody's capacity is different. Also Ranjit Maharaj, he says you have to know your own capacity. If there's the ability to stay with the sense of I am, for many, many hours, wonderful. If there's an ability to stay with a sense of I am for 20 minutes or 5 minutes, if that's all that I can do, that's okay. But if I think that the world is going to come in, I am lost.
I'm speaking about my own experience. In my experience,
yes, but you're speaking to us.
Yes. And this is what I'm saying. In my own experience, it was like an exercise of continuously remaining with that sense of presence. And eventually the mind is then sort of trained to remain with the sense of presence rather than to go out into the outside world. Now, I believe that if I let my mind just wander and do its thing and I wasn't, I don't know how that would have been. My master told me specifically to remain with the mantra. The mantra would erase the thoughts. The thoughts then allow this, I am that. Now, in going about daily activities and such, working, doing whatever, I am. There is that sense of presence there. So
there you go. Yep.
I will, in my own experience, again, I don't know. I understand Nisargadatta and Siddharameshwar and very great. I'm just saying my own experience that I did seek that sense of presence in every activity. And then, as you were saying, as I with the black hole, it will pull you in. But it is necessary, at least in my own experience, to sort of exercise that mind sense of, okay, don't direct outward, direct inward, direct to the sense of presence. The more I direct to the sense of presence, if I just allowed it and I said, okay, you know, it's going to be what it is. And
it's not a matter,
I
it's
don't
not
know
a matter
because
of that.
It was a burning. It was a burning thing for me that I wanted to know. It wasn't a casual thing. I remained with the mantra from the moment I was given mantra until it dissolved everything that I was. So there was not a take it kind of casual of, well, you know, if I go through my day and sometimes I'm going to sense myself and sometimes I'm not going to get disturbed my mind about it, but I am going to exercise that presence, so to speak, because that presence will dissolve. And the more I remain with presence and I don't go outwards, more and more concepts are dissolved. And then as concepts did arise, mantra would slowly and silently, they would clear those concepts until it became absence of thought of any, and any thought that would come in between was burned off by presence. It was and then it's just that is that. So when I'm speaking, I'm speaking from direct experience.
What I was addressing was the world. When you said the world appears, okay, you make the world appear, or I'll speak for myself, I make the world appear. When I think about it, there are things that I see sitting in this room right here. There's a lamp over there. There are paintings on the wall. But as soon as I call it the world, so to speak, that identification is made manifest. And it isn't that. That's all I'm saying. The world isn't, period.
Correct. The world isn't, period. If you get a phone call right now that says your mother died, you're going to identify with that in the moment. That's just a fact. Now, how?
I won't identify it because my mother already died.
Okay. Okay.
I had an experience yesterday. I ran into someone, not physically, but just, you know, that I had kind of a strange feeling about. And it did put me, you know, like it takes me, you know, like it really showed me, like, you really identified with a being of somebody. You know, it's like, a strong feeling like that. But then, you know, when I thought about it just a little bit later, that everything is Brahman. Everything is that. This whole thing, the person that I ran into, the feeling. And so it just kind of like dissolved, all went away. You know, there was basically, it was just a kind of, just a remembrance, I guess, of what I've been taught by the master, and also, you know, like reflecting on that for a long time. It kind of eventually begins to have that effect, you know, just the, it's like, I think it's like what Ramakant Maharaj says, when you absorb the knowledge, kind of, you know, like, I mean, there may be a day when absolutely there is nothing there at all to react to anything. I don't know, like a mother passing away or whatever. There may be that, but at least now I'm very, it affirms what I've been taught, that, you know, when that knowledge gets absorbed, it does have that effect to kind of like just cut it. You know, and so there are two ways of looking at it. Like, one way is like to look at it as, I was reading Das Buch the other day. Yesterday I was looking at it, and he says, except the attributeless Brahman, everything is delusion. Then today he says, everything is imagination, which is a concept, you know, and basically that's fine. But then there's another way of looking at it. Everything is the reality, or everything is Brahman. And I know Ramana Maharshi once said that if you look at the world as the world, it's an illusion. If you look at it as Brahman, then it's the reality. I don't know, what do you think about that? And two ways. One way is to say everything is that, everything is he, as Ranjit Maharaj would say, everything is Brahman, or everything is nothing. Everything is zero. Everything is illusion or delusion.
Both are true and both are not true. Because, again, and I'm only speaking from my own self, holding that sense of presence whenever there's a concept, whenever there's a question, whenever something arises, the answer is within your own self. Even the conceptualizing of the master's teachings, as Maharaj says, it's there only to say, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. So you don't want to use mind, ego, intellect to try and figure things out. And we talk about capacity or whatever, but there is no capacity unless you sit and say, I'm an individual who's trying to do something. That you are, the capacity is limitless. There's only the limitation when I believe myself to be someone and I turn it over to mind, ego, intellect to try and figure it out. Remaining with your selfless self, it just dissolves everything. Everything. Hey, John, and yet, yes, Martin.
I mentioned capacity in regard to both Andrew and I were in Bombay hanging out with Ranjit Maharaj. And Ranjit said it very well. He says, in regard to this so-called spiritual path, I'll put it into words, you have to know your own capacity and where you are. Those were his words. And you, not the capacity of an individual, but the, regarding the physicality mentality, you know your attributes that you have. You're not 6'5" and you're not 5'2". Your body is as tall as it is. So in that way, you know your body's height. You also know, I'm just using that as an example. So capacity wasn't used in this in the sense of an identity of an ability of an entity to do something. Capacity has to do with knowing where you are right now. Now, am I Brahman? Am I the selfless self? Am I Martin talking? Am I creating a problem in this meeting? You know, all of these things has to do with capacity. Am I a schmuck? And that again, doesn't that, have that, to do with...
All of those things are individualized attributes. You're formless. In reality, there is no Martin. There's no John. And yes,
right, right. That's what I'm saying.
If you were to stay with yourself in this moment and say, instead of saying these things, am I thought free? I think Maharaj says, am I fearless? Am I thought free? Is there fear of death?
Exactly.
Where does this bring me? But this is automatic in that you either know or you do not. So it's not a capacity of how much you could grow, or you say, okay, you know what?
No. Not, not a matter of how much you could do anything. It is in the immediacy of right now, of where knowing exactly where you are. And I don't know if Andrew was there when Ranjit Maharaj was talking about capacity, but he would quite frequently address it.
I have no idea where I am. I have no local identification whatsoever. There's no...
Are you still taken by your thoughts?
I don't have... See, now it's going to sound egoistic. I don't have thoughts. There are no thoughts. There are spontaneous scenes. There's no concept of a someone here having anything. As if there is just two eyeballs in space. There's no identification. Now, if there is in a daily routine, someone says, hey, John, I'd like you to do this or something, then okay. In this moment, then there's a recognition. Oh, John, I'm doing this task or whatever. There's not... in this experience, it's not happening like this. And that's why I believe that the concept of trying to eliminate all of these things is futile. Instead, remaining with your selfless self. And I can only speak because this worked in my case. When Maharaj put his hand on my head and said, this is the mantra. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain body. It's now up to you to discover this.
Right.
And that's the end. Now it's my journey on discovering that I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. All attributes are on the body. Any attributes can be easily removed by remaining with mantra. Mantra allows that sense of presence, that just I, and I remember when I was looking at Maharaj and I put my hand and I said, all of this is myself. And that presence, that reflection, that recognition in the projection, or even when bowing to the masters in the ashram, and the first time that the eyes hit and there was that feeling of presence just pulling you in, it was the recognition in the projection. So it erases you, and then you don't have a point from where you need to do anything, because
being in the environment of Ranjit Ashram in India, you're in the presence of that power, and when you're in the presence of that power, your own small self gets obliterated completely. And you have the grace of there is no master, there is no you, because both of you, Ranjit Maharaj and you, are the same. You have that wonderful grace of being in that powerful presence. Oftentimes that doesn't stay with us. So capacity to know when that presence is functioning and when it has lessened. It's just an acknowledgement of one's condition. Of course, I can say there is no condition because I'm Paramatman. I can say that. However, particularities arise in everyday life where we can get all of a sudden sidetracked.
And that's what we were just talking 20 minutes ago. That's what, when things arise in life and you get sidetracked, you pull back, remain with yourself with self.
Yeah.
That's what we began this conversation on. So thank you for.
Right. And so when we get sidetracked and remain with selfless self, how do I remain with selfless self?
This is meditation. Until you know yourself in a real sense, looking around for what? But when you know yourself in a real sense, even sitting in meditation.
That's why I'm asking. That's why I'm asking.
Subtle, just I. And now, how do you remain with your selfless self? In any experience, you can find yourself. You are the background of every experience in which all experiences appear. All of everything is appearing on your spontaneous presence. Therefore, anytime, as you just said, as we said a little while ago, about getting lost in the world, you can easily find yourself in any moment. And this is a deliberate action for as long as there is a sense that I am somebody trying to find myself. However, if you are lost, then there's still a self that you have the concept of that needs to be dissolved by remaining with your selfless self. It's very simple. And you just remain in the background of every experience you are, and you can find yourself in any moment, anytime. And it has nothing to do with, you know, whether I have nothing to do with anything. It has to do only with the effort and a desire to know yourself in a real sense. And it is not a part-time thing. And it's not something that if I would have said, oh, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to sense presence, sometimes I'm not. No, when I don't sense presence, it's because there's been an illusory thought of I am somebody else thinking about something, about a world that doesn't exist, but I don't yet know that. And so therefore, I need to erase those thoughts slowly, silently, and permanently. And then, so that I am that. This is where selfless self-intoxication comes in, because I don't want to lose myself. I want that all the time until this I that wants that is dissolved in that, as again we mentioned, like the black hole. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remain with the I am, and all secrets will be revealed. Siddharameshwara Maharaj told Nisargadatta Maharaj, you are that. And as he said, he remained in every moment when he was at work, when he was doing anything, he searched for that I am and remained. And before too long, he realized himself in a natural sense. And all of us are that, and that is that. And it's a very, very simple thing.
We have 1 minute left.
Andrew, do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Linda says hello. Linda says hello.
Oh, Linda. Oh, okay. Where is Linda? She's in New Mexico, correct?
Yes, she'll be sending you the book soon.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Thank you.